You think it's late, but it's not late. It's early, early. And right now is the time for the Verb Pod Network. This is the Power Hour. Welcome to another episode of the Power Hour. Brad Gebhardt, and I am so excited for all things Verb. We got the Verb, the sweepstakes. Go to verbmoto.com, peruse over there. We've got all the pictures from the Gypsy 500. Brett Q's bleeding, bloody hands from the many hours that he was forced to be spending on that motorcycle, because basically he was the anchor of and the driving force of Team One. I was even drafted onto that team late because the rest of the team, with their dreary, tired eyes, said, "Brad, we need you to take us home, take us to the promised land," before then again putting Brett Q onto the motorcycle to bring it home to 50th overall at the Gypsy 500. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, with me, not so much in studio, but always in my heart, Zach Heron. Welcome to the show.
What is up, brother? The shades are looking absolutely fantastic, and we had another great weekend of racing. Can't wait to chat about it.
Absolutely. Every single weekend, we break down, whether it's GNCC, Arena Cross, Supercross. If it's got two wheels and an engine and probably some knobby tires to boot, we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to look backward toward the Indianapolis Supercross, a race that was absolutely unbelievable. It was the track was honestly no fun whatsoever. But before we get to that, you've got some things to run down for me.
Dude, absolutely. Yeah, it is getting down to crunch times, folks. April 4th through the 7th is just, what, a couple of weeks away? If that, we're getting down to days. Can't even start counting by weeks now. World Mini. We've said it before. We'll say it again, guys. It is back. It is bigger. It is better than ever. It is out at Mesquite. So any of you guys that were out at the Gypsy 500, you know where I'm talking about. You know it's one of the best facilities in the entire country. I've been saying it, man. I'm trying to get my East Coasters out there. I think I got one guy convinced to try to make the trip, but I want to see a bunch of the East Coast out there representing. It's going to be a great time. It's obviously some of the best competition you're going to find in the country. And so it's going to be a great time, man. I'm excited. My first time out there, going to be doing some announcing with the man, the myth himself, Kevin Kelly. So very excited for that. And it's just another awesome stop on the entire Verb Tour, the Verb Shred Tour, plenty of other opportunities coming up throughout the country and throughout the year as well. We've got Verbadilla, of course, and naturally I talk about it, the voice starts going, right? I think of my man JJ from J-Day, all right? Do not cross the track. I swear to God, I will come back there out of retirement from Costa Rica or wherever he's at, and I will smack you myself. Put it like this, guys. Unadilla is one of the only opportunities you have to ride, I would say, one of, if not the most historic tracks on the circuit. Got to do it on a Suron, then got to watch the legends go out to Chris Canning grabbing the win out there last year. That was where the bromance began between me and yourself, Brad. But May 18th and 19th, we got to be there. I'm trying to get it locked in for myself. Not only just because I love being up there that time of year at such a legendary track, but it's just a cool event, that entire J-Day off-road, a little bit of moto, a little bit of off-road, whole lot of good time out there as well. And then you West Coasters, we didn't forget about you. I guess the Pacific Northwest would be technically where that's at. I'm talking Verbapalooza, all right? I didn't get to go last year. I'm not sure if it's in my wheelhouse this year. Washougal is number one on my checklist for tracks I want to go to, but not sure that this will be it, but it is your opportunity to go. June 15th and the 16th, going to be out at Washougal, another Verb Shred Tour stop, and that is where the legendary Pit Bike Straight Rhythm went down. I saw lots of clips from this from last year, carnage, chaos, and a champion walking away. So, I mean, we say it all the time, dude. These guys over at Verb, they've got their hands in a little bit of everything. They're keeping track of everything. But then the events going on, you just got back from one. I'm getting ready for another. They're all over the country, and they are always such a good time.
Yes, sir. And I'm Mesquite motoed out right now.
Oh, man, head to toe. Look at him.
I'm doubled up. Got the Mesquite MX hat on and, the hoodie that they gave me at the Thanksgiving Classic. They basically race – And like the RMX series, which is owned by the same family that owns Mesquite, they own three tracks as well as Bunker Hill and Cache Valley. They essentially race or have some sort of an event like 50 times a year. It's around the calendar. They don't stop because people just want to get their throttle therapy. And like you said, Verbapalooza bringing back the laziest track map you could possibly imagine. basically just a straight line, no corners in there, no passing opportunities aside from just going faster than the guy next to you. I'm excited about it. But you know what else I'm excited about? I was playing around with the Backyard Design website today, and I can't believe how easy it is to make an extremely neat looking graphic kit. And they're like, they ship right out of Germany, but I'll tell you this, they literally shipped mine as well as Wes Williams graphics on the Tuesday before the Gypsy 500. It showed up 2 days later, airmailed from Germany. I could not believe that. That wasn't express shipping. That's just what they offer. And yeah, you can really play around with all the different kind of the shapes and the designs. And they have some sort of purpose-built ones that you can just play with. They've got thousands of some logos. And if you don't find something that you like, or maybe that you have one custom one yourself, you can upload your own logos as well. So it's pretty plug and play. I highly recommend it. Backyard Design. And honestly, if you also use BigMX24 at checkout, you're also going to save 24%. This is 2024. It's time for some Racetech suspension and engines block passes. That's right. Just as we were talking about that Backyard Designs website, we're going to block pass it. We're going to just put those guys on the ground. And I got to give a shout out to Levi Kilbarger. The guy is 1,000 years old. He's got to be knocking on like 35 years old. I think he might have graduated high school with me, but he's putting it in the main at a Triple Crown in the 250 East Coast. Like, the guy's just been like racing select rounds of 250 Supercross for, I don't know, 15 years. And yeah, shows up straight into the main. And he is a Racetech suspension like service center himself.
Yeah, it is. It just goes to show, man, like they say, it's riding a bike. You never forget how to do it. And it just goes to ask, what's your excuse, Brad? All right. It can still be done. When are you going to make it happen? All right. I'm tired of the talking. We see the work you put out on the track. We got to see you behind a gate somewhere. But no, man, it's awesome to see. I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's cool. I think it's underappreciated, honestly. I think a lot of kids don't realize just how cool that is. And so, yeah, I think it's always important to give those guys a shout out, and looking pretty solid as well. I mean, not just scraping in, like looking very, very fit.
Like
15, very
like that's,
yeah,
that's
I mean,
space.
That's what I mean.
LCQ.
Yeah, wasn't on the bubble, anything like that. So, no, not only making it back, but making it back in style. So, huge shout out.
So, completely off topic, the jerseys that are over your shoulder, most people would immediately go to the number 4 and the 199 as like the marquee jerseys that are sort of like the jersey to have of your collection. It's not a huge collection, but it's not small by any means either. I see at least 10 jerseys back there. But the 11, the Lusk 2002, if I'm not mistaken, a Thor jersey, that's got to be up there for me. Just personally, I was a Cowie kid growing up. That jersey is from the 06 season for RC. So that it's a little bit, after like that, like not that I wasn't a fan of it at the time, but like I was all things Kawasaki. And when Yogi Lusk moved over, and he was riding that nice looking Kawasaki in 02, that jersey just brings back fond memories.
Yeah, man, it's cool. I've had a couple of people ask about several of those jerseys, and the really cool thing is all of them are attached to a memory for a race from one thing or another. Mm-hmm. You know, even the Carmichael jersey, that one I didn't get handed to me personally, but got it sent to me from Ricky. There's some back end story of
like
my
when
dad
you email
and somebody.
Santa Claus. Yeah,
kind of, but no, I will. I don't know how it happened, but I got the jersey and it says on it, Zach, happy 9th birthday, and then he sent me like some posters, man. He sent me folders full of stickers, like got me a whole like swag bag to go along with it. So that was pretty cool. And then the Lusk one was, like you said, I believe it was 02 or 03. I can't quite remember. But I think that was one of the first ones that I got. And, when I first got it, it still had dirt and everything all over it. It hasn't been washed, but the dirt and stuff have all kind of faded off after
all
the years.
Still got some of that Georgia clay on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and then like, Ryan Sipes, the 46 one there, that one was pretty cool. I've actually got the pants to go along with that. That was the only time a rider, like, I don't know what happened, but he started taking stuff off.
You got the Mike Grundahl set up.
Yeah. You can take these too. So, no, that one's pretty cool. The Brett Metcalf one was pretty sweet. That was, when he was on Factory Cowie. I've got,
that's a dark time for Moto Gear.
Well, you know, it was, we'll leave that one lie, but nonetheless, I've got the 07 Ryan Hughes and JYD, you know, John Dowd. So those are also two of my favorites. So no, they're all pretty cool. And even those little ones up above it, those are. Do you remember Extreme Clothing? Extreme.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. And so those
every
are
magazine I ever flipped through, especially the pictures of the big doubles.
Oh yeah, big doubles, no troubles, baby. And so those are the old T-shirt catalog designs that they would carry to the shops and say, "This is what we got to offer." So they make interesting office wall apparel, but we try to keep it interesting for sure. But no, they're all pretty special. I would say Yogi's up there for sure. The 715 Filthy Phil Nicoletti, that was back on the 1110 mods day, so that was back before he was world famous and flipping everybody the bird.
He was probably still flipping people the bird back then,
probably,
though.
Like, yeah, what am I talking about?
Let's be a little bit more open-minded about how he likes to communicate and the fact that he's fluent in ASL. It's time for some sight laps. Let's move straight into something that we didn't see coming. Is a young man, Alistair Dickert, down in Spring-a-Ding at, it was Oak Hill, if I'm not mistaken, struck by lightning. They're currently having it's not a GoFundMe, it's a different website. I can link the donation website to the bottom of this podcast, but a young man racing in, I believe it would have been the 250B class, along with Logan Best, struck by lightning and went in through his shoulder, out through his hip, as far as the reports that I've heard. What have you heard? You're a little bit more plugged into that situation than I am.
Man, I'll be honest. First of all, yeah, our thoughts and prayers. Like, I mean, what do you even say about that? I think it's one of those deals where I don't know about you, Brad, but I have raced with lightning going on, decent amount of heat lightning before, and then, you know, some storms rolling in, but never seen anything where it was, you know, sky to ground contact or anything on the property where there, at least I genuinely felt there was a threat of being hit. I haven't heard, so I know, I believe it's Dean Dias who gave the update about where it went in through his shoulder and out through his hip. But I saw there's a picture circulating around. I don't know if it is the 250B moto or what. It's kind of behind a flagger, and in the background you can see clearly a lightning bolt going on, and there's riders on the track. So it sounds like there may have been some concern and some speculation about the safety before that race went on. So from my understanding, I think there may even be some interest from the AMA as far as just looking into the situation and looking into, not saying that the track or anybody did anything wrong, but whether or not maybe they need to revisit that policy and maybe update it. You know, now we all are a little more better equipped with radar technology and everybody being able to really see what's going on. I know we had some lightning at our GNCC in Florida, and same thing. We have somebody monitoring it. As soon as we know it's in the area, we see where it's at, how far there's a proximity set up, and they ultimately decide to make that call. But yeah, all in all, man, I mean, what can you say? I think it's a crazy, crazy thing that nobody saw coming, and just hope that they're going to be okay. I mean, I don't even know enough about it to know how it can affect somebody. But I do believe that they said his brain function was looking correctly. Heart function. Okay. I knew it was one of the major vitals was looking good. But yeah, I mean, at this point, and this is where I get a little conflicted. I've heard both sides of it. I've heard, you know, you're at a heightened risk for being out on the track and for racing. And I agree to a point. I don't think that you're more at risk by being on the motorcycle than you are by walking in through the pits or walking on the street or walking in a parking lot. Like, I do think that there is inherent risk with everyday things, everything that you do. And so,
absolutely.
I think that needs to be taken into consideration before people start throwing a ton of blame about whether or not they were actively in the process of racing. Yeah, all in all, just a bummer situation, and not really anything breaking as far as information on the health or anything like that that I've heard. But yeah, just hoping they're going to pull through and make a full recovery.
Yeah, certainly. Like first and foremost, prayers and thoughts go to Alistair, and his family, his loved ones, people that are uncertain of whether or not he's going to be able to make a full recovery. Ultimately, the call to halt things, red flag things, like drop the gate in the first place. It's a judgment call, and people aren't perfect. Situations aren't perfect. And these best practices, they themselves aren't perfect. And unfortunately, something happened. Does that now mean that we need to look at things differently now or make some changes? Perhaps. But I don't know enough about that situation to really make those judgments. All I can really say is that hopefully the kid makes a full recovery, regardless of what that looks like as far as his ability to get back on a motorcycle at any point. I think that's the least important thing here.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
he's able to get out of that hospital bed, and lead a normal life and, just to continue to be a kid. Cause as far as I know, he's still a teenager and, he's got a lot of life to live. So, hopefully he's able to do that. And, thoughts and prayers with him. I will link the website where they're hoping to raise about $50,000 to, cover some medical costs and whatever else, that the Dickerts are now having to deal with. But, all the best to you there, bud. Hopefully, maybe he's a loyal listener of the podcast, and this will be something for him to catch up on. I highly doubt it though. I know Alistair was shocked by this. I was shocked by it as well.
Oof. Yeah.
Gotta come out with a lighter tone here,
yeah,
man. Come on.
I guess it
sucks, but
yeah, I guess there's no really other way to roll about it. I guess that's just crazy. I mean,
right?
I saw something about
What would you think if you're behind him and this happened?
Holy shit, dude. Can you imagine?
I've been close enough where it's like you see the flash and you hear it immediately. So, you know, it was in like close, but like if he's in front of you, like it's within like 50 yards.
Well, that's what I mean. I've never so much as seen lightning touch the ground in my general proximity. Like I've had a buddy of mine that said one time he was in a field and lightning, like cloud to ground lightning was starting to hit the field, and it was like tilling up dirt, like throwing dirt up. It was hitting the ground so hard. And so it's like, dude, if it's capable of doing that, yeah, and it zapped his ass off of a bike. I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I would be trying to grab something rubber. Like, I mean, what can you do?
Keep the rubber side down. My question is whether or not the bike has now, like, the battery has a full charge at this point.
Dude. Well, and yeah, I mean, I wonder, because the body, from what I understand, is a full conductor. And so it's like that energy.
That's why we had such a connection. It was electric.
Yeah, immediately. It was that New York lightning. Yeah. But, yeah, man, it just definitely one of the crazier stories that I had heard. I've never, we've always talked about, like, oh, wouldn't it be crazy? Like, there was a picture one time I was doing a night race and coming over the finish line, and, like, where my helmet was, there was a lightning a lightning strike in the background, and it looked like there was lightning going into my head. And it was always like, man, wouldn't it be crazy? Like, if you got struck by lightning, but it's not like, it's not cool at all. Like, it's not fun. So,
well, the second event that we were anywhere together was Loretta Lynn's. Mm-hmm. And there was many a times where we thought we were about to go racing, and then lightning had come down. Yep. And it was in the area, and they had to, like, there was basically like a set amount of time that if you have a lightning strike in that area 30 minutes afterwards, like, it's a no-go, and that's just
If anybody thinks that there's not rules in place for that, go back to Loretta's, because if you think they wanted to make those calls, I promise you they didn't. Like, I guarantee you they were like, if there was any way we could get you out there so you'd stop screaming at us, we would. But no, they definitely follow the rules on that stuff. And I mean, they do want everybody to be safe. So,
the
but no, man.
Vigilante crowd of
Shoo,
50
yeah,
parents
the
that wanted
50
to
mob.
kill Davy Coombs. It's not the first time nor the last, by the way.
What do we want? Three motos. When do we want it? Now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care if my P-dub kid goes out there with no fucking boots on.
Let
I
him
want my
sink.
motos.
Let him sink.
Yeah. That was just silly. The sand was a pool at that
Dude.
point.
Yeah.
But I digress. Let's go straight to the Verb Thought Line. Anyone can submit their question at VerbModo on Twitter, hashtag VerbLine. Best way for me to be able to find your questions, or you can just email me directly, brad@verbmoto.com. As you stifle a yawn for the fourth time in this podcast, we are recording this late at night, but I appreciate your efforts either way. We'll go to the first question from Dave Lewis from Springfield, Illinois. Is Hunter, he must be Australian as well.
Hunter,
getting jealous of his younger brother Jet's rise to both fame and dominance. What are your thoughts?
Well, as bad
Gotta
as
be
it
a little
sounds,
bit.
as bad as it sounds, don't you think it'd be getting to him by now? Like, if it was getting to him,
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. I meant to do this right when I saw this question, but I do feel like
That's
I've
been a bigger
noticed.
deal since 2019.
I feel like I've noticed a substantial lessening in Hunter's social presence. Like, people talk about how outgoing Jet is, but Hunter is by no means a quiet guy. He talked quite well and he's very open. I put it like this. I think it has very, very little to do with the fame aspect of it. And I think just the freaky voodoo, he is always in the right place at the right time and executes at the right moment. I think that's what's pissing him off more than anything. If he's mad at all. Yeah, because it's just like, not that I don't think Jet's an incredible rider, but man, you talk about somebody that things just go right for. Like, it's just his time right now. And so, yeah, I think he's got to be a little irked, but at the same time, I think he's got to try to look at it for, hey, I get to train with this dude every day. I get to live, eat, breathe, sleep. I have the same DNA complex as this guy. Like, you know, I have no excuses. So, yeah, I do think there's probably a little bit of bitterness deep, deep, deep down that, you know, very, very few people are getting told straight up about. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's anything crazy where, like, I've heard some pretty wild rumors where, oh, he doesn't even like to be around him. It's like, okay, come on now. Like, they're an extremely close family.
Here's how I kind of I see it. And obviously, like, yeah, I think you're totally right. Like, peel back the layers, and there's probably like a version of Hunter who's like, fuck, man, my younger brother's better than me at this shit. But at the same time, I think of it this way, in the fact that, like, when he was leading the charge from the family, like, that's a lot of pressure for you to continue to perform, for you to be that sort of like that figurehead and be on point every single weekend. And honestly, now, like, I'd say 90% of that pressure's on Jet going.
Oh, absolutely.
If Jet hasn't been as successful as he has been, I'll ask you this. If Jet hasn't been as successful as he's been so far, is Hunter a Red Bull athlete? Maybe not.
No.
Probably not. Right? So, and like, there's things that he's benefited from for the fact that he's now sort of a package deal with his brother. He still is extremely talented. He's a champion in his own right. He gets the opportunity to basically like if you're growing up with your brother, and like, if you could dream of being on one team, like on 450s, like this is unprecedented. Brothers on factory Honda with Red Bull deals and your head to toe A-stars, like, and literally you get to sort of just like, you get all the perks, but I don't say none of the pressure, because there's still pressure, but like, a lot less pressure than your younger brother, who's, yeah, just he hasn't put a wheel wrong, especially when he's jumping into the whoops that are absolutely the most treacherous thing. Like, I thought the Gypsy 500 was wild. No, that whoop section would make a man out of anybody. And the kid's just like sending it in there with a 230-pound motorcycle and just go like bunny hopping it through. Just, whoop, 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 like, go get out of here.
Yeah, it's somebody got to send the guy a memo that that track is treacherous.
Yeah, like someone let Jet know that this is hard.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
This is the best hard sport to be good at. But yeah, there's got to be a little bit of jealousy in there. But honestly, at the same time, I think that it's still a great family unit. I think they are genuinely happy for each other. They're going to be millionaires. They're going to be champions. And regardless of how, like, if it all ended right now, it was a successful career for both of them, which is wild to say, because neither one of them are 25 years old yet. Moving on to Jason Robertson from Dallas, Texas. Holy crap. All the way down from Dallas. How come racers don't do knack-knacks and heel clickers like the likes of Kevin Windham on the last lap or finish line like they used to? Honestly, I'll give my thoughts on this. I think it has comes right down to, there's two things. Grant Langston's one-hander relinquishes the win. Like, that was 2001, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 02. No, 01. And then, because that was Preston's first win. Yeah, that would have been 01. That would have been 01. And then I think it really comes down to, like, the corporateness of, like, these guys, they don't want to mess up. Like, if you mess that up, there's too many corporate dollars behind you that, like, no. And I, honestly, I also don't think this is, like, guys don't play ride like they used to.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. Like, Marvin Muskan does the heel clicker. That was probably the last.
Longest legs in the professional racing, though, too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. You can clearly tell that he is very comfortable doing that one trick. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he ain't doing a Superman seat grab or anything like that. But, you know, and I definitely think a knack-knack could probably go wrong. I mean, like, who? Reed would do a knack-knack.
Reed does knack-knacks. Roxon does knack-knacks.
Yeah.
Does Jet do anything? Like, like Jet whips a motorcycle very well.
I was going to say, he can crank it pretty hard, but I don't think he does anything really beyond that.
I caught a glimpse of a sight lap. I don't know if it was Indy's sight lap or a different sight lap, but, like, a couple of guys were getting wild over the finish line. Just, dude, like...
I for some reason, I feel like Roxon, I can't remember whether it was two or three rounds ago, he was that one shot of him over the finish line where he was, I mean, upside down and backwards. It was like it relit a fire in the pro ranks to crank it out in some, like, practices and some even some of the media day stuff. I've seen just like you can tell when those guys are going harder than they normally are, and yeah, throwing just some stupid stuff. I mean, I can't remember who it was that I saw.
Tomac's underrated when it comes to whipping the motorcycle.
Tomac's, like, got some style, dude.
Yeah, like, he's low key. Like, when he's, like, riding at, like, 80% and just wants to, like, lean into one, like, he can send it.
Yeah.
Of the top guys, guys who maybe not at the top, but that they could also crank one out. Cody Shock is one of the most, like, that guy's got skills on a dirt bike. Like, just, yep, like, if you're talking, like, just play riding skills, aside from just being an absolute, like made of steel, because
he is
literally made out of steel. Yeah, he's got some play bike skills. But there's been a couple of guys over the course of, like, history that just don't have, like, a plethora of I don't think I ever saw Chad Reed do a heel clicker, although, again, shorter guy, I don't think he can get those things, like, the feet around. In arena cross, you see Ryan Breese do it, but yeah, like, the contrast to that, I don't think KP, Kyle Peters, is doing a heel clicker, just because, again, short legs. But
yeah,
you could probably do a heel clicker, but I don't think you're flexible for it.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to stop me. I do a mean no footer, though. I'll do a no footer without thinking twice about it.
What if you were, like, leading by way too far, like, say it's a race between you and I, and you've got a 35-second lead on the last lap, like, what would be the finish line celebration?
Dude,
because this is for championship too. It isn't just, like, local motor.
That's what I mean, though. It's like I always used to joke with my buddies, saying, like, man, one of these days, I'm just gonna get to the point where I don't care. And I'm gonna find a jump, and I'm gonna have as many people with cameras ready as possible, and I'm gonna just every YouTube video, Ricky Carmichael, AJ Cantanzaro, Trey Kennard, how to whip, how to scrub video I've ever watched, all that knowledge is just gonna go, and I'm just fully commit, and I'm gonna crank that thing so hard, and I'm not turning it back, and that's how I die. Is I'm just going to cry. And we're going to have all of these great photos of me just looking, I mean, just upside down. But he just did
the,
not.
The
he
full
did,
Tom Parsons.
Yes, he did not survive. Yes. And so I don't know, man. I mean, that at I'm wearing the shirt right now, SummerSlam. Poor Brett Q. He was probably sick. I'm like, dude, so I just don't get it. So you just lean? Like, you just fucking lay down? Like, and he's, yeah, man, I don't know. Like,
There's so much going on that they don't even realize.
That's
what
I
it
mean.
Is.
Like Brett is somebody who breaks things down into simplistic terms. We'll put it like that. And
sure.
Even he was like, I don't know, man. Like, I just come up, he's got his hands up, and I just lean. And it makes me so mad. And I try, and like this past weekend, I rode and on a jump that didn't make it in my Instabanger video. Like, you can get a little lean off of it. And dude, I swear, I'm dragging shoulder off this face. I'm throwing it so hard.
Just
The problem is my girlfriend was also there with a camera. And so I found out I was not dragging shoulder at all. I don't know what the hell I was dragging. I wasn't dragging anything other than dragging ass around the track, apparently, because
second lap, yeah.
Yeah, I was not it's just always kind of disheartening, right? You think you can throw a big whip or something, and then you see the picture and you're like, really? Let me just edit the tilt on that one a little bit. Yeah, now
yeah,
she looks at
thank
that.
goodness for
Yeah.
the iPhone. You can just like basically
Ooh,
like you can be straight up and down and be like, put that thing on her side. There
Nah,
you
baby,
go.
I was upside down off that
Why
thing.
are those clouds going left to right?
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot more serious now. For me, like, even when I was racing, like, I always used to do a little fist pump. Like, but besides that, I knew I wasn't throwing a whip. I'll put it like that. So, I always liked like, depending on the way the finish line was set up. Like, I like when you like could roll it, like coming across the line and like put your hands up in the air or something. But yeah, it's I do like the tricks though. I mean, like, I like some cool style. I like the fat whips though. I'll be the first to admit, like, Roczen's. I'd say Roczen's probably top of my list as far as guys that can just. Anderson's got some cool, like, oppo type, almost free rider esque type style. Yeah, Kenny can throw a pretty nasty just normal whip.
Absolute. I like when guys have like a specific trick they do. Obviously, MC owns the knack knack. Chad Reed borrowed it. I think it still belongs to MC, especially considering I think he not only invented it, but also named it because it's can can backwards. Ricky with the double can, which is like completely out of left field as far as like for that to be his trick is like ridiculous because like it's maybe the most difficult of the tricks that racers do, that it's like both feet completely off to the side. That was his go-to for whatever reason, possibly short. That's a short leg deal.
Yeah, easy clearance.
Especially with that subframe that's like non-existent.
Yes.
The seat foam that's just like he is the opposite seat of you. Like for those who didn't see your Instabanger, you've got like 36 inches of foam on your seat.
Two seats stacked on top of each other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's two seats. And then you've got Kevin Windham, who, like, there was times when, if you watch old races from the 90s, like, Art Ekman is crediting him with the invention of the keel clicker, which I don't think is correct, but, that was a subject of debate. But yeah, I like when guys sort of have their little calling card. Like, Windham did the heel clicker. Like you said, Moose can, he does the heel clicker extremely well. He hurt his knee at Data Get Hurt.
Yeah,
Down south
sounds
there,
like a
that
lot of
was a
people
bummer.
got hurt.
Bunch of
Yeah,
guys got hurt. Zach Osborne's got
Zach
broken
Osborne
ribs,
broke like six ribs. Yeah,
ten
I
ribs.
saw that
Yeah,
crash. That was ugly.
yeah.
Track did look cool though. It looked like a fun event. Carson Brown
Yeah.
was hauling.
Well, of course, like when Carson Brown
shows
is like
up.
just stretching the, like, how many times a year does he call Motorsport for a new throttle cable?
Dude.
Do they just send him a throttle cable for, like, every bike imaginable? Because they never know what he's going to be riding next.
They're probably terrified because they never know what he's calling about. Like,
yeah.
Hey, can I have a Yamaha Zuma followed by a...
A Wizinger.
Yeah, 87. Yeah, like, it's just the most random stuff, and he's just hauling ass on all of it. Super nice dude, too, which is cool, so.
Absolutely. His dad's really nice, too. Super quiet.
Yeah.
Nice guy. His, for those who don't know, Brown Brothers Racing, BBR, that is the Carson Brown's family. So why he has all those tricked out pit bikes, and they're honestly not even pit bikes when it's like a Kawasaki KLX one, like the 125 that basically
it's
a four stroke super mini,
nuts.
With more horsepower than my KX85 had. And guarantee that Carson Brown's lighter than I was on my 80. Yeah, it's not even fair. But yeah, that's sort of the lineage there. But, getting to our last question here on the Verb line as I slowly but surely start to lose Zach Heron as a co-host here.
Are you talking about, man?
Dude, I can see your eyes are starting to droop on me. I'm just giving you shit.
It's all right, man. It's
all good. Yeah, you're an hour ahead of me, so you're knocking on midnight. I think there's a country song about that. But Vincent Vanderdonkt out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. This guy's right over my backyard. So he's cold tonight, as am I. Who of the current racers is best suited to be a team manager once they retire? Now, I was thinking about this as soon as I saw it. I'm curious about your answer on this one, though, Big Shoots.
Trying to think of somebody that... Are you
thinking can't say Brayton because he's already retired. I think Brayton is probably like the best.
Are
like,
you thinking whole field or just 450 riders?
You can go whole field, sure. I got one that comes to mind, and it's going to surprise you.
I could maybe see Sexton down the road enjoying
just 'cause he's like the current re-embodiment of Jeff Stanton.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he just seems to take a curiosity in the entire process.
Okay.
Like I think...
like the process of putting KYB suspension on a KTM?
like somebody like Coop, I definitely don't, right?
No,
like Coop
no.
Does not strike me. Anderson.
The caveat to this is that it would have to be an athlete who still wants to stay around the sport and put up with the bullshit that is the motocross industry.
Right. That's what I mean. And like, it's like, I think a lot of people are thinking like a top rider, and I'm trying to think.
One's over your shoulder.
Oh,
a lot of swearing.
You think it's filthy?
Gotta
be. I've heard he's not interested in any of that.
I could see him doing it. I
definitely could.
What is he going to do? Just go work corrections in New York? Like, he loves this shit. He loves hanging out with Mathis and all those guys. I could totally see him like basically like managing the 250 program or the 450 program for club. Easy.
Yeah, maybe. I was
already kind of do that.
He's definitely, and I will say this, I think he's a lot more intelligent than a lot of people realize. Like
1,000%. Just because he says fuck every other word doesn't mean he's not smart.
Yes, and that's proven to be a sign of intelligence. People
fucking that right.
Fuck right. So, but I mean, yeah, beyond that, somebody that just seems super happy to be around all the time.
What about a Kyle Chisholm? Talking about a guy who, like, he doesn't need the money at all. Like, honestly, he doesn't even need the money for racing now. But talk about a guy who's ran his own program, knows how to work on sponsorships, could coordinate things. I could see Chiz doing that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I feel like his step away from racing. Like I feel like because
he never retires. That's the caveat.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel it for some reason. I feel like I could see an RJ.
Okay.
Maybe. I think RJ's got because RJ is pretty well educated.
Yeah.
And I do think RJ's career won't go super, super long just
what
because
about a Jordan Smith?
No, I don't think so.
Fair enough.
I'll be honest. Yeah.
Just throwing some names out there. Good question from Vince. Honestly, that's kind of like that's honestly,
well,
like,
it's,
there's
I've
quite
said
a
it
few
before.
guys who like current team managers that were racers. So,
well, and we were talking about this out at Daytona. You know, the on school track program that, you know, they talk about your getting jobs in the industry and, you know, finding education that works with the lifestyle of amateur racers. But I mean, dude, if you think about it, you, me, all your gear people, I mean, you go up to any personnel really at a amateur national motocross race, whether it's the goggle guy or whatever, dude, they all ride, they all rode, they all, you know, we all thought we were going to be one day and then we realized we weren't. We're like, okay, well, how can we still be a part of this thing that we love? And so I think that's another cool side of it as well, is it's like, man, even if you're not, you know, or even these pro guys, it's like, man, you know, I'm able to ride for a couple of years and do my thing. And then down the road, you know, I mean, whether it's a team manager or not, that's a pretty high position, you know, but a perfect example, like A-Ray at O'Neill, like that's cool. Like he did his thing.
Cool.
He rode for a while. Now he's working for a gear company, seems to be enjoying it. So no, it's definitely be interesting to see in 15 years or so where all of today's pros are now, because most of them will be retired. And then, I mean, I would think there'd be several that are in the industry in some various forms as well. So
I could see AP wanting to hang around.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, and in a lot of ways, I could see AP also going K-Dub on us and kind of just disappearing. Because K-Dub there at the
like
end
three kids now, just
was a pretty serious fan favorite. Yeah, and I mean, dude, he's got horses. He's got, you know, he's got his family thing. I mean, I could still see him being involved, quite honestly, on more on a local level.
Sure.
Like working at the, I can't remember what his dad's track is that they've got, or training facility.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then somebody, I don't know, I could see it going either way with Coop. Like, sometimes I think he just checks out and just.
No, I think he fully checks out. I think he, like, takes up surfing more and drinks more beer than
And then you see somebody
the
like
rest of the.
Censorello, and everybody seems to think, you know, his direction is commentating. And even if it's not, I think he will be an ambassador for something in the industry.
Oh, yeah. No, like, everyone's like, oh, watch out RC, but, like, also watch out MC, because, like, there's a Kawasaki ambassador role.
Yes,
and
the
I don't
Kawasaki.
I don't know. I've never known them to have more than one or two of those.
Yeah.
So, not to say that MC deserves to lose a position or this, that, and anything, but, yeah, like,
well, and I mean, eventually,
well-spoken,
relevance to
right.
Modern. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. And he's the only kid, the only guy that can literally say he started and ended his career on Cali. Like, he never.
No, yeah. He rode Cobras.
I mean, he was on Cobras, yeah, when he was
yeah,
little, but.
Everyone had to ride Cobras at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, I think I watched Mini Warriors 2 last night and Tomax on a KTM.
No, that's 3, where he's
That
doing,
three?
where he's lassoing.
He's low. He lasso, is that three?
I
Okay.
won't let you down, Pop.
All right, so let's get to that.
Oh yeah, there was a race. I forgot about that.
There was a race that happened, and so, like, we're gonna gloss over the 450s because, to be honest, it wasn't the most.
Yeah, talk about losing Zach.
Yeah. We're talking about losing Zach. We'll lose him during the 450 talk. But is Hayden Deegan now the most humble athlete in North America, or has he exited the danger zone? Are we? Is this mind games?
I don't. Took a puff of the peace pipe. I don't know what it was, man.
Come
But
on.
Put it like this, and I tell you exactly.
I
what
haven't
I
seen
think
back
this
pedals
is.
like that since I watched the combine a couple weeks ago in the NFL.
Hey, you know what? You guys want an apology? I'll give you an apology, and that's exactly what he did. I mean, say what you want, but the guy, and it's his family. Obviously, like, people call it his circle, the team, whatever. It's his family.
Yeah,
and. They're behind him, and they said, you know, I think they could clearly read the room. Hey, this last little bit didn't work. We need to backpedal. We need to change the projection of your image. And I mean, I swear to God, the guy was standing like an inch shorter. The shoulders were a little more rounded. His voice didn't have quite the, yeah, dude, you know, we're out there just, yeah, dude.
His interview at the end was like, it was a completely different
dude,
athlete.
It's like a completely different person. And I mean, you know, part of you wants to say that is Bobby Reagan or somebody saying, hey, son, you need to pull your head out of your ass. You need it. But another part of me thinks this is, you know, in the, I wish I had Spencer Owens here, but you, hey man, you know, you get what I'm doing. Spencer Owens.
Hey,
awesome start. Yeah. Hey.
Come up there and tell him that you're just like, you're happy to be there. Praise to God. Like just super stoked to be there. And like, you've got stiff competition.
You gotta be appreciative. You're in so much trouble,
but honestly, I'm not entirely sure if Hayden Deegan's ever going to do an interview with me anyway. So I'll just like kill that right now.
Hayden,
honestly, I'd have the kid on the show like any day of the week, but twice on Sunday, like super talented racer.
No, that's what I mean. Like, and I think that's ultimately that's why we can joke around about it is because the dude's good. And I'm a fan of this marketing strategy. You know, we look back at the hindsight on what Brian did with his career. He's praised and he should be for the empire that he built. And dude, they're doing it
again. Coolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and rightfully so. Like, marketing genius, Brian Deegan. The guy literally cornered all the white sunglasses, jacked up truck crew that spends money on black t-shirts with skulls on it. Like, and he bought 10 houses with that whole marketing, plan. And good on him. I'm super pumped for him. If anyone can make money in this industry, thumbs up, buddy. It's funny, like even in the press conference, he's like, I had a Cameron McAdoo jersey on my wall.
Yeah.
Like that was, it just like everything. It's like he takes the flipping people off too far, and then he also took the apologizing too far. I'm like, I got these guys all on my Christmas card list. What are you talking about?
Well, and that's the thing is it's very almost like Barsha would sometimes, like he'd slam into somebody and then you'd be like, what? I don't understand. Like I thought, like, it's like, if you're going to do this, like be, you know, you can't just change who you are on a dime. Like you can go from being kind of cocky and kind of arrogant and tone that down some. But when you, like you said, when you go from that to, oh, I love everybody and it's just such an honor to be lined up next to these fine gentlemen and blah, blah, like, it's like, all right, is this dude ever just not bullshitting us or what? So I don't know, man. I mean, I like it. Like I said, people said they wanted humble. They wanted an apology. That's what they got. So be happy, you know?
You ordered.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. You can't help but say, hey, he's listening, right? I mean, the fan said one thing and he listened. So now next on the 250s, we've got Swole. I said that I was impressed with him. Obviously, that last race was more of a letdown for Swole than it was for Triumph. But I do think that Swole has shown some great stuff for the Triumph bike. But it's just putting the whole deal together.
Well, what I'm most impressed about with Triumph is the fact that, like, the bike has been fast in qualifying. The bike has pulled hole shots. The bike has he's been able to rip through the pack. So, like, if at all the bike isn't where it needs to be, or it like there's still room for improvement, holy shit, they've got a lethal package on their hands.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
If there's room for improvement on the platform itself, like, we've got a serious contender on our hands here. Also, if like this is a racer who he's won high point in the past, he's podiumed supercrosses, he's led laps, like. Swole himself, an athlete who's been riddled with injuries for the last three or four seasons, he himself doesn't even look like he's a very far off of what would be his potential in this class. So if the two of those were to sort of like kind of crescendo together come the end of this championship, or when push comes to shove in the when the two series get together for the East-West shootouts, he's going to be a formidable opponent. And obviously he's going to be frustrated anytime that your bike quits or it won't start, or there's some sort of ignition issue. And those are teething problems that happen with any bike, like insert Ryan Dungey's bike quitting at whatever race that was when they first
Southwick 2011.
Exactly. All kinds of like there's been like many things over the years that new platforms, innovations in motorcycles have like it just happens. Like how many times in the early days of four strokes when a bike would stall and they're like Josh Grant, first
kicking
race ever,
kicking
leading,
kicking.
Tips it over, and he's just like, I met Schneike. That was the funniest thing. I gotta tell you about this. Maybe this is actually my vented plate, let it all out rant a little later on. Yeah, like his first race ever, tips over in the corner, couldn't get the bike going. Schneike was there laughing it off because like the kid was just happy to be there. Ends up DNFing that moto. But these things happen. Last thing on the 250 side of things was it's either white hot or ice cold for Daxton Bennick, which that's kind of rookie kind of ups and downs. Yes, no?
Yes, I feel like we've gotten into a little bit of a tendency here to where it's like now the expectations of the rookies have broadened. You've got the standard rookie expectations, which comes with mistakes and I would like to. I need to watch some more of their YouTube documentaries. I'm trying to think what the name of it is, but if you go on Star Yamaha or maybe just Yamaha Racing's YouTube, those actually show some pretty cool behind the scenes. But for Bennick, I just think I was expecting a little more consistency. It's hard to always gauge that with the rookies, but I just thought he was maybe going to have a little more consistency. It's clear that he's got the potential. I'm just curious what these little mistakes are that are stopping him from being able to do it on a week-to-week basis. So, but all in all, I mean, like you said, I think you've got to be satisfied with it. I think Romano had a decent little showing as well. It's just taking starts and putting them to finishes. You know, Megawatt, Matt Watson, he's a big finisher. Everybody says, you know, he says, yeah, everybody says you got to get a good start. I say you got to get a good finish. Last time I checked, that's what they paid for. So, but yeah, all in all, he's healthy. So no matter what, I think that's the biggest thing. He's showing up to each one of these races. He's experiencing the dirt. He's experiencing the series. So props to him on that.
Absolutely. When it comes to rookie performances, the most important thing is getting all of the races in, staying healthy, letting the entire, not like letting the race come to you, letting the entire series come to you, taking advantage of opportunities when it's presented to you. And then when it's not your night, like do the best you can do, get out of there healthy. It's the kids who, like feel that pressure. And sometimes it is real pressure that if they don't produce, they're not going to have that ride. But also if you've got a broken femur on the side of the track, you're also not going to keep that ride. So, Bennick, he started on the podium. He's yet to return to there, but wouldn't be surprised to see him back there before the season is out. Touch on the 450s before we let you go here, on the Verb Power Hour. Like this is going to be a boring sport going forward. Yes, no? As far as 450 class is concerned, like no one's got anything on this kid.
I want to say no, man, but it's,
I've been vehemently fighting this. Since
that's,
the beginning,
that's what
of...
I mean. Like, I everything in me is. It, quite honestly, I'm scared. Like I'll be honest. I didn't experience the McGrath era. I came up and kind of really started to become aware at the tail end of the Ricky era, and even that had some pretty serious threat there with James. Like, dude, I don't know. I mean, it is one of those things where
he's going to wrap this championship up early.
I feel like the nail in the coffin was kind of this past weekend. I think Webb just wasn't able to put it in the right spot. Tomac's done. I mean, we've even said, you know, I think Tomac's probably saying, "Hey boys, let's start figuring out outside." Fucking,
yeah. If we're going outdoors, we're focusing on outdoors.
Yeah, we gotta start working on that because clearly this Supercross thing ain't happening this year, and we need to focus on what we can. So I don't know. It is incredible to see, and I don't take anything away from Jet because to say that he is doing it and making it look easy is insane, because if you erase Jet, you look at these other, and it is the deepest field of the most talented riders we've ever had. And he is making them all look like amateurs. And so, yeah, man, it's a scary, scary thought. I mean, I obviously don't want Jet to crash. I don't want Jet to get hurt. I would not be upset to see Jet get 9th and 10th place starts. You know, I mean, I'll be the first to admit,
hey,
like,
if he's going to win every race, if he can start 15th, that'd be sick.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. I mean, at least make it to where the camera's following him come through the pack. But, man, it gets to them. Quite honestly, like, his sponsors might be starting to get a little mad, because it's like, he gets out front, he gets a gap, camera stops watching him.
Yeah, Alpine starts not getting a lot of footage when they're just focusing on Kenny in second.
Find 4th or 5th, or, yeah, the battle for second. And so it's we'll see, man. We'll see. It is impressive to watch, and for as young as he is, he just seems to be super efficient and super on point for doing this thing and showing no signs of slowing down anytime soon.
Certainly. And, like, as far as dominance goes, like, I lived through the RC era. I lived through the 08 year with James outdoors and rattling off wins in through the late 2000s, early 2010s, also with Villopoto. I'll say this about RC, James, and RV. I personally, this is just my taste, those guys are more fun to watch for me. Yep. Like, the aggression, the style, like, you could say, like, Jet's a surgeon, absolutely a surgeon. I don't look up a lot of videos of I don't watch a lot of surgery videos on, yep, on YouTube. I watch James Stewart twisting the throttle until the cable breaks on either a KX250 two-stroke or a 450, or sometimes even a KX125. But that's just my preference. Honestly, like, the kid's super talented. He's going to win a lot of races and likely a lot of championships. And like I said, I honestly would not be surprised if we roll into Salt Lake, Utah in, is it 8 weeks now, 9 weeks from now, less. Is it not 8 weeks?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got he's already has the number one on the back, yeah, of his jersey. I wouldn't be because they won't be, like, technically AMA rule, he can't run the number one until next year. But if they go in the 18, if on his jersey the one is gold, I like that. That would be if I'm playing marketer, that's what I go with.
Write that down.
Yeah. Myrtle, that one's free. The rest you got to pay for. And yeah, I don't think he hasn't even received my invoices, oddly enough. It is now time for the vented plate, let it all out vent session, where, Zach and I just like to just sort of, like, let her fly, something get off our chest. Maybe it's the fact that, like, maybe Zach can get mad at the fact that I kind of told him that we were going to do this today. And then around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock his time, I was like, hey, are we doing this or what? And he's like, fuck. And then he had to race home and he was running out of time. And then we still chit-chatted for like 45 minutes before he even hit record on this thing. Now it's midnight. It's literally midnight right now. And we are recording the last portion of this podcast.
Well, now that you took my vent, no, it's all good, man. I'm glad to do it. Yeah, mine's pretty simple. Look, it's not that I am Ricky Carmichael or even the
show
top...
would get more ratings if you were.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding. The not even that I'm a top level pro or anything like that. But this goes for fast riders, slow riders, whatever. If you're at a practice, like an open practice ride day or something like that, and you're gonna jump in with a bike, right? You're gonna jump in. I personally, I'm a chaser. I don't want to jump out in front of you and jack up your lap and get in your way and start taking your lines. Like, it bothers me. And that's what I said. I was like, if you're going to jump out with another rider, don't be an ass about it. Because I had this past weekend, I had this guy, and I mean, there wasn't a ton of riders at the track to begin with. And he was somewhere around my speed. And it was like, He made it very clear that he was wanting to jump in and ride with me, like cutting the track, jumping in over. And it's like, he's jumping kind of off directions, like almost coming together with me, getting onto the track. And then, like, Dude, he's dive bombing on the inside of me and stuff like that. And in like the first two corners when he jumps on track with me. And then I, you know, get around him and I start to kind of space it out or whatever, and he'll pull off. And then he'll wait for the next spot and he'll jump back. And I'm like, dude, like, you can't just run sprint sessions with me and then like jump off when you get tired. It just, I don't know, man. I definitely think there's some etiquette to it. You know, I'm all about trying to gauge some speed. And like, sure, if there's somebody that I think's quick that I want to see how quick I am compared to, you know, if they roll by, I'll kind of roll up and get onto the track as they go on, but I'm behind them. I'm not bothering their lines. I'm not doing anything like that. I was just like, dude, I couldn't get a free lap. And finally I cut the track and went to the other side of the track and like looked back and kind of shook my head like, dude, you can't just stalk me around the whole property all day. So that's my rant, man. Just if I want to be alone out there practicing, man, I don't need people. If I wanted to be close to people anywhere close to as fast as I am, I'd race. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I totally agree with you, man. I do. I'm very similar when I go to the local track. I'm about looking pro, going slow, and just doing my thing. Like I usually show, there's one local track about 45 minutes from where I'm at. Practice starts at 4. I unload the bike at 3:45. I ride at 4, probably somewhere closer to 4:45, like 3 or 4 sessions max, probably never more than 5 or 6 laps. And then after that, it's tailgate time and some bench racing. Totally understand. And there isn't too many people who jump on and try and dice with me. Although, there has been some times where some like local, like kind of like mini dads, oh, like jump in with so and so. And I'm like, that's never my favorite. My vent is it's a gripe, but it's like such a first world problem or such a 2024 problem, because this was never a problem back in when I started watching racing, because most of the stuff wasn't even available to watch, period, let alone on television or any type of streaming services, essentially didn't exist. When I was a kid, GNCC was like unwatchable unless you were like actually at the event. So that was not a problem whatsoever. SMX was on like a 3-day tape delay at 2 o'clock in the morning on ESPN2. So I wasn't having to stay up till whenever to watch that. MXGP was on a channel that I didn't get, and the Canadian Nationals were broadcast on a channel called Sportsnet like 3 months later. So it was awfully easy to keep up with that. Plus they do reruns nonstop. It was great television.
The Royal Distributing host. Oh, yeah.
Completely agree with you. Yeah. Like Coster, Travers, absolute gold. Some people hate them, some people love them. I personally was a fan, especially when they'd make really off-color remarks about the 32nd World Girls when they're like, yes, young enough to be their daughters. Those are my favorite. But now, like, honestly, I have too much racing to keep up with. It's SMX, it's AMA Arena Cross, which is absolutely popping off. I can't wait for the final round at in Vegas. I wish that the points were just a little bit closer, but also because of that, Brian Breese is going to have to put Kyle Peters in the cheap seats in order to make that that championship a little bit more. Oh, it's going down. And then MXGP, like, you can stream those all the time. I personally am more of a highlights guy because I'm not up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch Lommel. And then you also have the MRC, otherwise known as the Triple Crown series up here in Canada. That's available on MAB TV and the Ride TV app. So like which is the same viewing as the Arena Cross, although it's not the same subscription because they want you to have two subscriptions here in 2024. Like I have the same bills that I did back when I actually had cable, but it's like $12 times 50, or 10 or whatever you want to call it to get all the channels and this, that I want. So, my gripe is that I have too much racing to keep up with, whether it's international stuff, GNCC now, especially because like you've introduced me to this world of GNCC that like I thought like my thinking of it was like Shane Watts and like Steve Hatch and Mike Kudrowski and those guys like just wearing like MSR gear from 2001 that was like ill-fitting in like 9 different colors. Now it's all cool and there's like characters like Stu Baylor, who's like just like that drunk uncle that you wish you could hang out with a little bit more as long as he didn't touch you funny. Like it's just so good and I love that. There's bikes on fire. The racing's unreal. They got kids on 85s just ripping through the woods, just barkbusters this left, right, and center. And then you've got the MXGP with guys who actually make sand look like something fun to do until you go do it yourself. And you're like, fuck this. And then you get the Canadian Nationals where, there's like four guys at the top of the pack and they just like race away from everybody. And then you've got like Carpenters in 10th place. I absolutely love it. But yeah, too much racing to keep up with. I think that's a lame rant, but most of my rants have been pretty lame and I'm pretty lame to begin with. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, your time. So, Time to get some Z's, right, buddy?
Absolutely. Another episode in the book, man. A pleasure as always.
This has been the Power Hour. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Thanks for joining me, Zach.
See ya.